here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
I'm Mo, but you mean we're here to do a podcast? I thought you just invited me over to your house. It's been a while just to hang and be friends.
Yeah. Did you lose weight?
No. I didn't think so.
Yeah. Actually, it's my fault. I'm sorry we haven't been off for a couple weeks.
You haven't lost weight?
Yeah. No, well, we haven't done a show for being together here to do one. We can tell the truth now. It's not because I was moving. I had some legal problems. I ran over a kid who was wearing a John Cena shirt, but it really wasn't my fault. I was let off. I couldn't see him.
No, that's true. Wearing yellow.
All right. Wrestling we talk.
We do talk the wrestling. Where do we want to start? Monday Night Raw.
Sucked ass.
Yeah. Well, here, I'm going to leave this up to you, Mo. Do you want to start with the good or the bad?
I'd like to start with the bad.
The bad, okay, and then we'll end positively, I guess.
Yeah.
So Monday Night Raw.
Well, as I said the week prior when I was just doing some ramblings, I think the booking sucks. I think the actual matches they have set up are good, but they don't do anything interesting to get me there.
Well, no, that's the thing, is that the if you were to read a paper, the card itself, with all the stars and the matchups that they've got and things like that, it's like, yeah, okay. Like, if you look back in history 5 years ago, and
yeah.
Or 5 years from now, and you look back at this card, it's like, okay, yeah, okay. But, yeah, there's nothing.
No.
You know, like, I mean, the biggest thing that they've done, I think the best booked WrestleMania angle they've have is the Shield in that six-man, with the Big Show wanting to be on the team, teasing the problems with that, coming through, them picking Ryback. I mean, we can talk later about Ryback and Switch, which shocked with the way they did. But the fact is now the Big Show has to come in and make the save, and they don't trust each other, but they have a common enemy in the Shield, right?
Yeah,
and
that's
so
fine. That's fine.
I actually like that. I think that, to me right now, is the best thing that they've got going for WrestleMania.
It's not Fandango and Chris Jericho?
Oh, fuck. Fandango away heat.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're,
I think Fandango fuck yourself. That's what I'm going to call him.
And you know what? I think you might be right. That might be the best booked angle. Doesn't feel very important, though, somehow, does it?
Well, nothing feels important, but I mean, that's a match I think that will have heat, though.
Yeah, possibly,
I think you'll have the crowd with it. And, of course, then they don't trust... Basically, the deal is going to be then they don't trust the Big Show, and Randy Orton ends up screwing them.
Probably.
Coming out of it, right?
Probably,
I mean, that's I can see that story coming in.
I guess at this point, I guess my problem with it is pretty simple. I know Big Show is remaining a heel at this point.
Right.
But Big Show, heel, face. You know, he's been turned more times than...
Your mom.
I was going to say rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, so your mom.
But seriously, I mean, I don't want to see him turn again, and I'm pretty bored with Big Show. So anytime Big Show's in anything, it's tough for me to get excited.
Your mom is like Swiss Chalet, always so good for so little.
Oh, I'm glad to hear she's still good at her age.
And you know what? I met this guy.
And if anybody knows about so little, it would be you.
I know this guy from Swiss Chalet whose dad is really stupid.
Oh, fuck.
But Big Show, yeah. I mean, the Big Show face heel. I get that. But there's a reason. And
there
he's not. And right now he's not out as a babyface. I remember, you know, a slower kind of turn. When he turned heel with Big Johnny there, that was out of the blue.
Was it just 1 year ago that fucking
May,
feels like
I think
it
was,
feels
yeah.
like 5-6 years ago?
Well, I know.
It was Team Teddy versus Team Johnny.
No,
it's
no.
Unbelievable that it's 1 year
ago. Oh, that it was that, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like it feels way longer.
Jerry Lawler making a heart attack Bruce Pritchard joke.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Also, incredible that in that match, Drew McIntyre on Team Johnny's team, and this year 3MB.
And when you think about it, that it was John Laurinaitis against Teddy Long for total control of Raw.
Yeah.
And neither one of them, you know, Yeah. I guess Teddy's the vice guy or whatever on SmackDown. But
not really.
But no, not really, right? So neither one of them have anything to do. And again, less than a year later.
Yeah, exactly. Every now and then you get Laurinaitis on a house show still to get some cheap heat.
Well, he's an agent, and I think that was just in the... I think he's only come back when they were in Qatar, and that was probably because they were short guys. And,
Maybe, you know.
But...
Yeah, it's hard to believe that that's only a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
And it was like fourth from the top or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think, so there's your good.
There's your good, okay.
In terms of the WrestleMania thing. And instead, and the matches are good.
The matches are good. I don't dislike the matchups. Except for Jericho and Fandango.
Yeah, Fandango, fuck yourself.
I couldn't hate.
Yeah. No, I know, and it's yeah. But Booker T going into the Hall of Fame. We're talking
like
about
that.
Good. I mean, that's you
I
know
like that, yeah.
The thing is and I hate to say
I
this.
I thought we were gonna talk bad first.
Oh yeah. Well, fuck him for going to the Hall of Fame then. Bad, I forgot.
So you can end on a positive. I didn't want to end on the
that's
negative.
That's true. Okay, so the bad, yeah, okay, if we're going to the bad, then I got lots of stuff. We talked about because we just talked about the good with the Shield, but thing. But the bad was, I mean, Vicky Guerrero coming out and saying, I'm pulling Ryback out of this match, and if you want to be on WrestleMania, you have to fight Mark Henry. Immediately after he said, I want Mark Henry, like, the babyface, basically the heel general manager here, told the babyface what he was doing, rather than the babyface going, that fucking Mark Henry, three World Strongest Slams, sorry guys, good luck in the Shield thing, I know, but I gotta beat the fuck out of Mark Henry, right? That's how this should go.
Theoretically. Even that, yeah. Like I say, I mean, I would have had a few problems with it, but at least it would have been more logical. But here's the part I dislike. Okay, so Ryback is, they asked for Ryback to be part of the team. Booker T approves it.
Yes.
Vicky pulls what Booker T did. What's to keep Booker T from pulling what Vicky did and just putting him back in?
Well, yeah, yeah. There's
like there's no logic here.
Well, I think the part was that Teddy Long came out too with Vicky, so you could play the story that because they do. I mean, whenever on SmackDown, Booker.
So Vicky just has more powers.
No. Booker and Teddy though could be the whole. They've been playing that. They've been kind of bickering at each other a bit too. So you could do the whole.
Then
you
prove
that. How would you prove you weren't there?
Yeah,
I made a call.
Do that then.
Well, I don't know if they have it. They won't.
They
haven't seen. Yeah, but they'd only have it on Monday. We haven't seen SmackDown yet. We don't know, right? I don't think they will. But I'm just saying that's...
they won't.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, irregardless, it's just
because we know that Big Show or Booker T steps out and goes. And even way, it doesn't matter if Teddy Long does it. Booker T can override him. He's only his assistant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't even matter. Like, and we know that he steps out and goes, you want to be part of, you know, be part of this team, Booker T, this Booker T says it's a Big Show, you want to be part of this team, and what we're going to do is have you win in the main event, and then they beat 3MB, and it's like he's on board with it, and it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't.
It's really shitty.
No, that's what it is. It's shitty, and it was just one of those things where I go, well, that was stupid.
Yes.
And it was like the end result of the match is the end result of the match, but the way you made it,
it's shitty booking and it's inconsistent characterization, so it's shitty on a couple levels.
Yeah, and it is, and it's all around shit. And we can move to Fandango now because I just said shit.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact is that they're spending all this money. He's got the golden shower when he comes out. He's got that Razor Ramon.
Didn't cost me that much money on your mom.
No, I know. See. But he's got the whatever the old school Ultimate
Still
Warrior
do that for $3.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
No shame.
No. No, I knew that. But $3. Wow. Huh. It's like a happy meal.
Anyway,
but he's got the Razor Ramon Ultimate Warrior. You know,
yeah.
Fucking 1995 pyro thing there. Jericho made me laugh. His things. I mean. And, he made me laugh with it, because I think I even tweeted something, I even tweeted when he came out, maybe a Fandango ate your baby. And then, like, 20 minutes later, Jericho said it.
Yeah.
But, it was, I mean, some of that stuff was funny. I mean, have they, and I haven't heard, so I don't know, maybe they have. I didn't listen, or I didn't hear them say any of that. Has he even brought up the fact that Jericho's on, was on Dancing with the Stars?
No.
No, okay. No. And I'm sure that will come into it, because Fandango's going to cost Jericho the match against Jack Swagger this Friday on SmackDown.
I thought it was on the main event. Or maybe that was, and they wrestled on SmackDown before. But it doesn't matter.
It'll be two SmackDowns in a row for Jericho and Swagger. Okay. Because they want to get Swagger over, so they put Jericho with them, right? I mean, that makes sense. But, you know, it's one of those things. We'll get to Jericho and we get to the good for that. But this match just, I mean, it's...
Hey, let me put it this way to you. I know what you're trying to say, but you're having trouble finding the words. Chris Jericho is probably... you have your top six guys. You have your Rock, Cena, Brock, Triple H, Undertaker, Punk, okay?
Yeah.
Chris Jericho is on the level of most of those guys in terms of popularity at the moment.
Right.
At least he was, say, 3 weeks ago.
And
I still think he is now.
Yeah.
So putting him in with this guy who's not over, who has a gimmick that the fans don't have any connection to.
No.
It's a complete waste of one of your few valuable commodities.
Yeah.
And they don't have a lot. And that's my issue with it.
It is. It really, that's it exactly. I mean, this reminds me, the first thing I thought of when I heard this match was, you know, a couple weeks ago, hearing that this was probably the match that they were going with, was something that I just saw on the Bret Hart DVD that I should show you a couple clips of, actually.
Yeah.
Totally forgot about that, actually.
Next week.
Was Bret Hart against Jean-Pierre Lafitte. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
This is a total filler,
you know, but this is a WrestleMania.
And a waste of a guy.
Yeah, waste of a guy.
I understand the logic of if you want Fandango on the greatest stage to shine, you put him in the ring with Chris Jericho right now.
Yeah.
Because Chris Jericho, you know, really for the last, at least the last month, has been probably the best wrestler, I would say, in wrestling, you know, in terms of, at least in WWE. I mean, in TNA, they get a little more time and do a little more stuff. But
yeah.
But he's been the best performer.
He has been.
In WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that three-way on Raw, you know, was again, it's faint praise to say that it was the best best match on Raw, but it was. And I don't get it.
So wouldn't you rather see him with Ziggler go for 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Have Ziggler win, and that's the blow-off to a storyline that they laid the seeds for months ago? Like, would you rather see them go in that direction? Doesn't that seem like that's a good use of Chris Jericho? And this is Fandango, quite frankly, should come out. If Fandango's going to have a role at WrestleMania, it should be when Brodus and Tenzai come out to with their mamas, that he comes out and ruins it. And it leads to basically, you know. But here's one of the things. I work for, and I'm going to go into this a little more later.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of the things you have to keep in mind. I mean, I was looking at this year, and I'm seeing no Machine Gun Kelly or Flo Rida or anything like that, right?
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking, I work for one of the
cable providers
here in Canada, internet phone provider.
When you call your local cable company.
You're calling me.
Well, you're, no.
No, I'm not one of those folks.
Your company.
You call my company. I mean, you're not calling me, because those guys.
No, you don't answer.
Nobody knows that. It's only a three-hour block that we have blocked off for the show this year for our WrestleMania time slot right now. We have, within local time here, 6 and 9 blocked off. We don't have a four-hour show blocked off within our cable company. So I think that's something to keep in mind. Now, is that a screw-up?
That's a screw-up because it's WrestleMania. They've announced it's 5 hours this year because there's an hour.
We only have a three-hour block.
Well, we're going to watch it at my house, and I don't have cable through your company, so we'll be fine.
We'll watch it at my house.
Hmm?
We're not watching your house.
Why not? You don't even have a TV.
I'll have a TV probably tomorrow.
But it depends if you're going to get the whole show or not.
But But I mean, I don't know if that's a screw up or not.
If you smell, and then it cuts
right off. We say, I mean, it's announced. I thought it was too, but I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm going, they have only blocked off a 3-hour show right now. Like I said, there's nothing.
The commercials.
But either way, I mean, it's probably
the commercials
say
special start time 5 o'clock Pacific.
Maybe that's the pre-show.
Our time. No, the pre-show is just on YouTube, is what it says.
All right.
That's Homer.
Homer. He's
something's happening in my Simpsons tap-toe game. Lisa has finished going to school.
It's true. Do we really need an update for that?
Huh? I get push notifications.
All right. Anyways, if they're going to fill 4 hours again, that's where you'll have a 3MB, and that's where you'll have a Brutus and Tenzai, and you'll have some sort of backstage segment.
You didn't hear this match. Brutus and Tenzai and the Chicks against the Bellas and the Road Scholars is the match.
YouTube?
No, that's a WrestleMania match.
Get the fuck out of town.
Yeah. Seriously. That's like an 8-person WrestleMania match. Yes.
Oh, you know, I did hear something about that.
No, it looks like Antonio Cesaro is destined for the pre-show, or a Battle Royal again, or both if it's an hour. Maybe.
Either way, this is where you have Fandango, when you have the 3MB, who will be at WrestleMania for, like Heath Slater was last year, being thrown through the wall by
Florida.
Flo Rider. It'll be something like that, and this is where you have Fandango or something like that. It's, you know, that's fine for him.
Mm-hmm.
But this match, this is shit.
Yeah. It really is. But that's what you've got. I mean, it's and again, no real story yet. I mean, they can make a short story. I mean, they make a short story out of it, and for what it's going to be positioned on the card is an afterthought runaway kind of filler match, which is really what it is. For a filler match, that's a decent enough story that they meet each other backstage. Fandango gets pissy, costs him a match. They do a promo or saying, you're on Dancing with Stars, but you can't dance like me. But I'll meet you at WrestleMania. That's fine for, like you said, for the Brodus's and the undercard filler shit.
Yeah.
But, like, Jericho is above that.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of, that's really my problem with it, is that it just, when I see zero potential in Fandango, and especially when Chris Jericho, of all people,
mm-hmm.
is the guy to, I mean, there's a reason that he's plugged with Swagger for 2 weeks here, is because they want to get Swagger over.
Yeah.
And when you want to get somebody over right now, you put him with Chris Jericho, and it's been that way for, God, years now.
Yeah, exactly.
Jericho has no, is the
Man,
one
I love
guy
the fact that they're not turning him heel, what they were going to.
Yeah.
I mean, I hated him and Ryback again, but if I was to choose, if you were to go back to me one more time now, you choose Ryback
or Fandango.
But fucking Ryback, that's pretty fucking good, actually.
Yeah, fuck. But I mean, that's the thing, and so you're, the theory of it,
yeah,
it's fine, but the person that you're getting over isn't going to get over. Again, this is a Bret Hart, John Pierre Lafitte thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's,
It was shit.
That's shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. Let's talk about what else is coming on WrestleMania that's shit. Ziggy and Big E against Team Hell No.
You know, thanks to those guys. Those two are back on the same page.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's shit.
Again, an undercard story deal. But you know what? And again, I talked about Bret Hart and Jean-Pierre Lafitte because I was kind of, when I think of things, trying to think of analogies of this, what this shit reminds me of. And what Team Hell No against Big E and Ziggy reminds me of is Owen and Davey against Vader and Mankind.
That's exactly it.
You know, it's just two, you know, makeshift teams mm-hmm. that, you know, that there's a connection to, bit of a connection to both, but neither one are a team. Team Hell No, I guess, but it...
Sort of.
It's just, yeah. It's
like, okay, we got a spot on the card. Let's have this match. Basically, we need to find a place for these guys. So this is it. So we'll get Big E having his first real match. Maybe he'll have a match before then. Who knows?
I don't think so, because they're saying we're finally going to see Big E at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Is what they keep saying. So, but I mean, that's what they say today, right? Or this
week.
Well,
don't watch NXT where he's still a babyface.
Yes, exactly.
Demanding
the five, but. The thing is, too, I mean, this is
and
all...
the champion.
what this is a result of, yeah, and a champion. This is a result of somehow, some way, no real reason, nobody knows quite why, but Vince McMahon flipped his fucking lid just after the Royal Rumble and fucking ripped up everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have now.
Well, he's really on his game right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's on his game.
Everyone's saying that, and that's why we had such a wonderful Raw.
Well, you know what? The thing is, like I said, they're setting up the matches.
Yeah.
And when you look back at it, you could, but they're, it's just shit the way that they're doing it. And Vince flipped out. They ripped up the script. I mean, they keep Hell No together instead of pulling them apart. They kept the title. He must have flipped just before Rumble because they kept the title on Hell No instead of Road Scholar as they were leading to. Broke up Road Scholar, put Road Scholar back together. I mean, you're getting such a, you know, Dolph Ziggler, not Dolph Ziggler.
They had, to me, they had...
Jack Swagger comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. They had 36 hours of airtime.
Yeah.
Prime time airtime.
Yeah.
To build WrestleMania. 6 weeks, 6 hours a week, 36 hours. That should be enough time to get over your main events and build storylines for your underneath card. And have it all make sense. That's enough time. Instead of looking at 36 hours as an opportunity, they look at it as, oh, fuck, how do we fill 36 hours?
Yeah.
And they scramble and they run around, and then pretty soon they go, oh, wait, we're close to WrestleMania. We still haven't done anything with this. Well, let's just do this with these guys.
No, that's
right. And that's pretty much how it comes across. And, that is how it is.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I was going to say, it's how it comes across, because exactly, right?
That's exactly what it is.
It's very patently obvious, that's what's happened, is that they completely changed everything.
And that's why Antonio Cesaro, I mean, what was the latest we heard was that he was going to be against Sin Cara, defending the belt against Sin Cara at WrestleMania, but Sin Cara has a concussion, so they're not sure if he'll be ready.
And even then, that would have been a pre-show.
But even then, it's like, then why is he losing to R-Truth? And why is he losing to Randy Orton? Why is
he
losing?
He's just losing to everybody now. Yeah,
yeah. Like it doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's like, oh, we need to make this guy look good so he'll beat the U.S. champion without anybody telling him, hey, when a guy beats the U.S. champion, he should want that belt and be the number one contender. Nobody's clued in on the most basic, obvious shit. Because
part of it too is that everybody, we want to help this guy, so let's have him beat the U.S. champion. Well, if everybody beats the U.S. champion, then beating the U.S. champion doesn't help anybody.
Mean a fucking
yeah,
thing.
Exactly. So I mean, it's just fucking stupid.
Yes.
And I mean, then we get to more of this. We the people, and suddenly it's comedy with fucking Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo dressed up in Fat Man suits to talk about Taco Bell and ha.
Defending the border from Canada was kind of funny.
Fucking.
And thank you, Brett, last week for defending the border against America's coming in, getting free health care.
Well, fuck. Yeah, yeah. Who said that?
I said that about you.
Oh, you're welcome.
But here's the thing. That was defending against Canada. That was sort of funny. But here's the point, though, for me about all this. Same thing. John Cena, I got to make him funny. At least John Cena is sort of funny, I get the feeling. Sheamus, I get the feeling, is probably sort of funny behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So they try and make him, but they write shitty comedy.
Yeah.
And they write shitty comedy for Cena. So same thing. Yeah, he's now a good guy. Let's make him funny.
Yeah.
I don't get the feeling this guy's fucking funny ever.
Yeah.
Alberto Del Rio behind the scenes, and now they're doing comedy with him. And it makes me mad. Every single time a baby face turns into a baby face, a heel turns into a baby face, they gotta make him funny.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho's funny, because Chris Jericho's legitimately funny. So let him be funny, that's fine.
That's right.
Don't force funny on every fucking baby
face. Randy Orton trying to be funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
No. Funny doesn't equal money. And we've seen this with Sheamus.
Yeah.
You see this with ADR.
Well,
I think
with Cena. I mean, Cena's not a money. I mean, Cena's money in terms of a dream match because they pump him. But, I mean, Cena's not Austin or Rock.
Well, he's
Rock
not Austin.
Or,
no, considering,
you know,
how long he's been
Hogan
on top of it.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, he's not at that level. But he's a draw. He is a draw.
Well, he's a draw because he's he's again, he's a
he
ram-
means something for house shows. He means something for
he's
ratings.
Ram down your throat draw because he's been on top for so long, people accept it.
But he has a draw.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, with the other part with this funny bullshit is then you go on Raw and you have Alberto Del Rio against Cody Rhodes, and it takes him 20 minutes to beat Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm all for, I'm nothing against Cody Rhodes. It was a
at the right,
was
at the right time, that's the right
yes,
thing to do.
But
this
not,
is not the right time.
Exactly. Not leading to WrestleMania when you're trying to get this newly turned baby face over strong. He should be out killing them.
Yeah.
And putting the arm breaker on.
And if you don't want that to be Cody Rhodes, then don't make that Cody Rhodes. I mean,
I do
think their logic is, hey, he could even overcome somebody who brought his very best out of him tonight. But it doesn't come across that way. It comes across like, oh, you're a mid-carder like this guy.
That's what it does. It's that bringing him up, pulls him down.
Yeah.
I mean, the funniest part of it all was when Swagger standing over top of, beating him up and standing over top of ADR as the fans are chanting in unison, however 19,000 or 15,000, how many people were there? USA! USA!
See, this is the best thing that could have happened to them, but they don't know it.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, this is great if they knew how to use this. If they knew how to turn this into Bret Hart and Canada and the rest of the world against the United States, if they knew how to say, hey, let's not have a basic heel baby face, let's build a more complex storyline,
right.
If they were willing to do that and knew how to do that, this could be the best thing that happened to them. Because what they'd be doing is they'd be taking the way a lot of people feel, but making them feel guilty about cheering the heel in that way, instead of letting people decide their own feelings and factions and getting that 50-50 split reaction that they could get, they don't know how to do that anymore. So instead, what you're getting is they've been making people feel the wrong way about cheering the heel. Whereas really, this shouldn't be about heels and baby faces. This should just be about two different viewpoints, and it should be a better storyline and unique within the WWE. Vince at one point in time would have gotten credit for going, I know how to use this. In truth,
but he's on his game.
In truth, Pat Patterson at one point in time would have gone, I know how to use this, and Vince would have got credit.
Yeah.
But instead, what you're going to get is them going, fuck, it's not working. Fuck, this guy's now. Let's have him beat up more of a. Let's have him
beat up JR again.
Like, let's get cheap heat.
Yeah.
Because this isn't what we want, and it's going to fucking fail. And they don't realize what the hell right here when that happened. I thought, fuck, that's a gift.
Yeah.
If you guys knew how to use this, that's a gift. But they don't know how to use it.
No, because what they're going to see from that, and because they won't know how to use it, is they would continue on, and they don't want to draw attention to that.
Yeah.
Because then it's, you know, those racist wrestling fans.
Yeah. Well,
you know, really,
but that isn't what it is. It kind of is. Well, there's some degree of that, but there's also some degree of, you know, people are going to have different viewpoints.
Yeah, some will be racist.
And I know nobody finds a racist or ethnic or any type of slur more offensive than you.
No.
I mean, when Bully Ray did it, you just complained to me about, you know.
Well, you know, the reason was is I did complain about Bully Ray's thing, but you know what? I will stick up for you anytime.
I hate your guts. But no, I mean, I know nobody finds these things more offensive. But
the thing is that I just that's why I found it funny was because there's this heel who's been
because I found it funny because I know in the back they're flipping out and Vince is flipping out and the you know
exactly it was a total wrong reaction that they wanted and I went the other thing that made me giggle is that they were in Pittsburgh, which is a stone's throw from New York, New Jersey, where WrestleMania is. And you got to figure a lot of those people are going to be there in New York, New Jersey. And so that's, again, what I'm looking at in terms of, like, when we're talking about Mark Henry and Ryback, we talked about it before, how Henry's the baby face in that match.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Swagger's going to be the baby face in their match.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, every single time that Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler are in the ring against Henry or Kane, they're going to, or against Big E, they're going to get cheered. You know, I mean, if Ziggler's in there against, the crowd's going to be cheering those two, and it's going to be booing Big E
And Kane.
And Kane.
Yeah.
Regardless of what else is happening.
Yeah.
Even though they're on opposite teams. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's just it. I'm sure the Shield might even get cheered. You know what I mean? Like,
wouldn't surprise me.
It's
against more, certainly against Sheamus, maybe even against Randy Orton.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
and certainly against Big Show, there's a chance.
Well, Big Show again, but Big Show being
different,
being
a different
heel,
different,
right,
yeah.
Already, so it's kind of him.
A different
so,
dynamic.
Yeah, I can see
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, definitely see Shield getting.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that at least is going to be interesting. But, I mean, the fact that they're talking about, you know, Vince being on his game and him flipping out, and this is what we've got. I mean, speaking of flipping out, did you hear about who might be back?
No.
We talked about how Eric, I think actually this was Panowski, I think this was Steven and I talking about how the lead writer of the vice president of creative quit.
Yes.
Because he has a family.
Yeah.
And he likes them and
yeah.
would like to see them.
And Vince doesn't understand that.
Yeah. So,
why don't you just have your family come and work with
us? Why don't you just hire a nanny?
Oh, yeah. Hire a nanny or have them work
creative. When he told me to hire a nanny.
Fucking nanny.
But, both of them. But, anyway, you know who may come back in to fill the role of vice president of creative? I'll give you a hint. He's a douche. He's The Rock's douche.
Good words.
Yes. Brian the douche Giewertz may very well be back. So.
Well, it sucks now, it'll suck then.
Yes. Well, Alberto Del Rio, lots of comedy. So, that will suck shit. What else is bad? Because you wanted to talk about bad. Dead
like
Man Down.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah. Didn't do very well.
It was what you would consider a bust. Not like Halle Berry.
No. That's a nice bust.
Yeah. Excellent, Smithers. What else are we looking at here? I think that might be all I have for... What else do you got that's bad?
Rock.
Wait a minute.
Or not, sorry. The fact that
Punk?
The rating... Yeah,
oh.
No, I was going to say The Rock. The Rock's not there.
Mm-hmm.
The
that's
rating
bad.
Continues to... Yeah, eventually people have started to realize he's not going to be there every week.
Right.
So the rating goes down this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I was saying it before, he's got to be there for Mania. I mean, have some presence on the show.
Yeah.
Like, it's the momentum of 2 to 3 weeks ago where Cena Rock was compared to where it is today.
Yeah.
And the excitement and the buzz that people feel for it, not just myself, but just in general, that you're getting is not there.
No, that's the thing. Is it really, I mean, and it's all about, like you said,
primetime players, the primetime players, and
Rufus, Pancake Patterson.
Awesome. That segment kind of showed to me why it is that this Rock and Cena thing is stalled.
I'll tell you.
And now it's going backwards.
Well, and you get the same video package. Great video package. But 2 weeks in a row. That's good to fill 1 week. And again, with The Rock, you know, a little bit of I'll balance the feedback with The Rock. I mean, the fucker is a busy man. He's on Jay Leno tonight.
Yeah. I'm sorry for him.
I mean, the thing is, he's not on Fallon. That'll be soon.
That'll be soon.
But,
2014.
He's not... I mean, he's a busy fuck, right?
Yeah.
And it's...
So's your mom.
But they knew this going in, right? I mean... What? The Rock
it.
Just lies there? But, I mean, he... They knew this. Like, they knew this was the deal, but at the same time, so you knew this was a deal. I mean, hell, his Twitter followers told him to team with John Cena. That was done on a fucking hotel room balcony.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You couldn't have done that?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's, you got to be able
Or, you know, at some point in time during the last, when he has been there, you couldn't have followed him to the gym and shown him work it out. And then edit it together 2 to 3 weeks worth of him working out and saying, I'm going to be at the best shape of my life.
Yeah.
Cena, you'll never see me like this.
No, exactly. Just bring
it.
I mean,
it's really hard. Like, that's really difficult to do. And put together a 90-second spot, even if it's that. Just something, or 3 minutes or 5 minutes.
You could have
whatever.
You could have slapped together footage from the past.
Easy.
You know, to do this.
Easily.
But they did. I mean, let's take a look at the competitors in this match.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at The Rock and do a profile of him. Then later in the show, let's take a look at John Cena. I mean,
so easy.
You do that, it's so easy. It's something different, and it fills because from one side, I'm actually kind of happy The Rock hasn't been on
yeah.
the last couple of weeks. I mean, people talk about it now, but, I mean, when was the, how often was Hulk Hogan on Superstars? I mean, it's a different time, a different era, but he was
not
barely
often.
On, right? And when he's on, it was like, so I don't need to see the champion necessarily. That's something, that's a luxury that we've been spoiled with in the last,
I suppose,
15 years. But really, I don't need to see that, but I do need to see something different.
Yeah.
And when I see Rufus, Pancake Patterson, and Darren Young come out, first off, I don't know what the fuck a Rufus Pancake Patterson is.
Maybe
giggle, but...
I'd eat one.
Hmm?
I would eat a Rufus.
Yeah, you would. You would. Pancake. Yeah, I think you did. Twice. But the thing is, like, I didn't know it. Apparently he's been doing that on some sort of YouTube
maple
show.
Syrup.
Been doing some YouTube show with the character. I don't know. I never heard of it.
Bacon.
But the fact he comes out cold against John Cena. And
sausages.
Starts doing this thing, which... a lot of it made me
wrap
laugh.
Him up altogether.
Turn that sumbitch sideways.
Anyway, what were you saying? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
Pancake your ass on out of here. Do you have any pancakes?
Pancakes.
Take your no pancake having Aunt Jemima loving ass.
I love
that was
Aunt
Mrs.
Jemima.
Griffith.
What?
How you doing, Mrs. Griffith? The Rock's home economics teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She made pancakes?
All The Rock wanted to do was make pancakes.
I love pancakes.
She made The Rock make chocolate chip cookies, blueberry muffins, but never pancakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Well, I can't remember any promos
what
from
a
Raw.
Bitch.
No. But the thing was, is Pancake Patterson and Darren Young, they come out. Totally for no, like, for what? And then...
well, as soon as they come out, you go, filler segment.
Well, but... and
no, you do. That's their first thought. Filler segment.
Yeah, but with John Cena.
Yeah, exactly. Filler segment.
And the only thing that they were trying to get across, which I
thought that was Darren Young again.
Yeah. The only thing they didn't really get across to me that I thought they were trying to do was that John Cena said, you know, you don't think I'm going to beat The Rock again. Come in the ring. I'll show you. You try to be serious, right? The thing is it's like, well, I'll give you an example because we both worked with a guy who was trying to be your best friend. Trying to be your best friend. And then when he actually told you to do something, we just kind of laughed it off. Because he kept trying to be your best friend. That's John Cena, Mr. Poopy... Hugga, all the title shots come and go, lost the title, let's talk about, you know, my Twitter followers or World of Warcraft and all this stuff. Now he's like, you know, you come in and I'll show you.
But also, when he's, you know, interacting with a joke, lower, mid-card comedy.
Exactly. Now he's trying to
how can you possibly take him serious?
Well, that's just it. And given the fact that he's always Mr. Comedy, that now all of a sudden he's going to be serious, it's like, it doesn't work.
No.
And I understood what they were trying to do, but it failed.
And every time he's trying to be serious, he gets this look on his face.
Yeah.
And he basically says to you, right now I'm going to be serious.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, fuck off. Just like every time he's sad, he goes, right now, by the way, guys, here's me. I'm going to pretend to be sad now.
Yeah.
And that's how you always feel with Cena. Like, fuck right
it's
off.
Just, I know. But it, that was just it. And then you had no... you had Pancake Patterson coupled with No Rock again, which again can't be helped from a live perspective, but there's other things we can do. You're right. This momentum, when they're talking about, I mean, we'll get to the good
there's
in terms
no
of
momentum
business,
for the match. I mean, they can. I mean, they interact over the
there's
next
no
week.
There's no momentum for the
up.
Match, and this match is what they're expecting to sell it.
Well, and now it's a good time for me to get into it, because talking about I'll be working on a spot for this. We're going to start airing this Monday.
Not your liver spot.
Not your dog spot.
My spot.
I've been working on a spot for WrestleMania for the pay-per-view. It's going to be set to air.
Not your liver spot.
My job is
not
to
your dog spot.
Make sure that these spots, these ads.
The WrestleMania spot.
That these ads are ready to air. That they will air within, compliance regulations.
Right.
Time-wise, to make sure that if we need to charge anybody, we do that. To make sure that they hit the schedule as they're set to do.
Mm-hmm.
This spot, you're going to start seeing it come Monday.
Not the liver spot.
You're going to start seeing this ad come Monday.
Not the dog spot.
Come Monday, you're going to start seeing this. And
you said come Monday.
What it is a spot that shows the Rock winning the belt.
I saw that.
Yeah. I know. And Cena sitting there looking dejected on the ramp after he lost last year to the Rock. And talking about greatness, how greatness is you have to go for it to achieve it, basically. You can't, greatness doesn't come to you, you have to go to it.
The Rock and Cena are both talking, you see their faces?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I've seen that ad, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so the point is that this is the ad that they're using to push WrestleMania.
That ad on my TV, by the way, says special start time.
It doesn't say it on ours, but the point is, though, is that this is your spot that they are pushing WrestleMania for, and it only has these two men. And these two men aren't even the number one pay-per-view draw in the company, because that is Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar means more pay-per-view buys than The Rock. He just does. The Rock is number two. Brock Lesnar is number one.
Yeah.
Is Cena number three? I don't know. Undertaker.
I was going to say Taker might be there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So they are putting all their
eggs in
this
basket. But they'll take care of that, don't worry.
They're not even having the Brock. Like, it'd be one thing if this spot said, greatness is found, whatever, The Rock versus John Cena, plus a special grudge match, Triple H versus Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar means more of a draw. But they're not. They've thrown out everything but these two.
It's a one-match show.
It's a one-match show. And this match doesn't have the fucking momentum.
No, that's just it.
And that's where I think that... I'm not saying that they're not going
to
do
a great
buy.
They have time to get it back. They have time to get it back.
But it's not a good sign. The other thing that's really interesting about this is, as we have this set to air, of course, we're up at Canada, just on U.S. channel Speed, NFL Network and Spike TV, just these three networks. So it's not running on things like CNN or Golf Network or A&E or anything like that, right?
Right.
Which is surprisingly rare, actually, that they specifically target
sports fans.
It's quite rare.
Yeah.
They're running these ads five times a day. They run it three times between midnight and 7 a.m.
Okay.
And two times between 7 o'clock and midnight. So, and none at all between,
prime
noon,
time.
Noon, yeah, well, daytime.
Well, I guess 7, but
daytime.
Supper
time,
daytime,
nothing.
Daytime,
nothing.
Yeah.
Plus, they're set that if there's another ad that's higher, it's set as lowest importance.
Mm-hmm.
If there's another ad that is at all a higher important and both need to air within that era to meet the schedule, it will air.
Get bumped.
It'll get bumped.
Right.
So it might not even run that often. Now, it is going nationally, obviously, but, I mean, the highest rotation it's in, it's between midnight and 7, nobody's going to fucking see it. So it's interesting because they have not had any sort of ad for the WWE in years, not since Attitude Era, that they were running for pay-per-view like this. I mean, they didn't have it last year. They didn't have it when Trump was on Mayweather, nothing.
Yeah.
Like this. So there is, like, a sense that this is big, but it's almost a sense like, okay, it's big, but we still don't want to deal with it.
It's big, but it's wrestling.
It's big, but it's wrestling.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and so that's kind of... I don't know if that's going to work for or against them. Like, if this is a good or a bad thing, that it's actually going to get spots and it's going to be run a little bit.
Not liver spots.
But anyways, your opinion on that?
Well, I think it's interesting.
On both points, on the fact that it's a one-match show and...
Well, yes. And I agree with you that it is, like I said, they're doing it as a one-match show and that show is...
And that's a mistake.
And that match is...
They're not using Lesnar.
Well... I'll get to that after, but they're, yes, it's a one-match show, and that match is losing momentum. I think, as I said, there's still a time to bring that back. So, right now, yes, but I think they could bring it back if they push it hard. The one thing that they're not doing, like I do with your mom, but the one thing that they're not doing right now is if it is their plan to go, really strong with it the last few weeks, they haven't burnt it out. I remember when, by the time it got to be the Rock concert versus the wrap-off, and last year, it just seemed like they had, like, a couple weeks too many that they were filling time last year.
But again, that's because it's not good booking.
No, I know, but they're filling time. But now it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Is that they've gone from one extreme to the other.
With 3 weeks left that they could end up doing that? Wasn't the Rock concert and the rap battle by, like, week three last year?
Yes, but they'd already gone through the whole I hate you, back and forth a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yes, we get the point. Now there's a Rock concert, and then I still got to go back and forth.
I think you should let your dog out.
Why? Because of the smell?
Yeah.
I thought that was you.
oh, no, come on.
The thing with it is that, I mean, in terms of the ads, I guess it's a positive because, like you said, they haven't run ads before, so they're running some ads now. But that's my overall feeling on wrestling, is that, yes, it's important, but it's wrestling important. And that's how things feel right now.
Yeah.
Is that this isn't a mainstream popularity thing, but it is a situation where wrestling seems more important than it has been. So when you talk about those ads, talk a little bit about between sort of midnight and 7, what are the odds, when do they normally fall in? Do they do them right away?
They really will get spaced out. So, I mean, you'll probably see one run somewhere about 1 o'clock. You'll see one run about 3. You'll see one run about 5 to 6 o'clock, that type of deal. I don't know. Like, I don't know how much of Vince McMahon is aware of what's going on with something like this. We've known for a long time the biggest thing for Vince McMahon is being seen as being like Disney, being like, mainstream. Like, it's always, he doesn't want to be seen as a wrestling promoter. No. That's always been.
Took it out of the smoky buildings.
That's his ego. Like, his the scared little insecure boy that is Vince McMahon is afraid of being called a wrestling promoter.
Yes, but the thing is, he would be if it's in his favor. For instance, when it comes to television now, the WWE is starting to promote themselves as more like sport because sports rights fees because of the no PVR. More people watch sports live and don't PVR it and skip the ads. Mm-hmm. They're more attractive to advertisers right now, so those are getting the dollars. Mm-hmm. So now they're seeing that and they're going, well, you know, we're like sport.
Yeah.
You know, whereas for years, it's like, no, we're entertainment. Well, I kind of like sport, right?
He can say he likes the sport, but that's not the same thing as, like, I mean, when I say this, I mean, you could say he wants to be NFL then. He doesn't want to be,
McMahon would shake hands with Osama bin Laden if he thought it was good for business.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's the whole thing with him. So I don't know that he thinks I wouldn't think he's aware of that. That seems to me too high level for where things are airing, because I'm sure it's different in the New York market or in this market
is that no matter how much he wants to be, more like Disney, or even if we say sports-wise, more like, Major League Baseball.
Right.
No matter how much he wants to be, he never will be.
No.
At the end of the day, when he lies down at night, as much as he could be proud of all his accomplishments,
I just
get the feeling that gets him. Right?
I'm sure that's what keeps him going.
Yeah,
that's what drives him.
That's
why, again, never satisfied, I guess, with it. But mm-hmm. we could transition to that into business talk. And I mean, I don't know. Let's wait. There's still some more negative.
Punk and Undertaker.
Yes. Last 2 weeks ago, because they haven't done a show in 2 weeks. Two weeks ago, Death of Paul Bearer, mm-hmm. the tribute show. I thought that was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Paul Bearer being put into this deal and Punk coming out wasn't in bad taste.
No problem with it.
It was done in a way that made sense. Mm-hmm. It had Kane there to be part of it there. Kane, legitimately emotional mm-hmm. after he pinned. You saw the tears coming down from his eyes there after he mm-hmm. sat up there. But again, not distasteful. And coming from, I've heard it said from a few places that I personally thought this and believed that, I think Paul Bearer, William Moody, would want to be in this angle this.
I think so, yeah.
I think he would want to be a part of the story, mm-hmm. being a wrestling fan, for 50 years,
mm-hmm.
Even longer. So, that part I had no say. As soon as I heard, Undertaker, in a really bad thing from Punk, too far.
Hmm?
Now I'm like, okay, this is going bad taste.
That's JP.
It's bad taste, and now he's doing the urn thing, and he's throwing the urn, making no sense, because he's concentrating on not dropping the urn until he has to say, oh, shit, and drop there. I think that was part of the deal. But
yeah, probably.
I mean, for him to he couldn't cut a promo while he was juggling. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. Undertaker's, you know,
he basically took away the skills of this great talker and threw him in the toilet.
Yeah, and Undertaker doing and we heard earlier in the week that Punk not happy with creative. Punk has problems with creative. Well, gee, I wonder why. And again, how much of that not being a good promo was him going, this sucked, so I'm not doing it well.
Yeah.
You know, pouting, for lack of a better word, right? Or you know, or just burying it himself,
and,
right?
And we've seen that side of Punk many times.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
So, and Undertaker doing his normal, I had no problem, it just didn't, you know, Undertaker's never been a good promo to me. Undertaker has his shtick, and it's fine for his shtick, but he's never, you know, the word dazzler that, you know, that other people are. So he had his thing, he did his part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't bunk, you know, you will die for, you know, making this personal, blah, blah, blah. And then Punk did his stupid thing, drops the thing, goes, oh, shit. And then they pan on him for 17 minutes, then they pan on Undertaker for 17 minutes, and we fade to black. And
so,
it's
yeah.
like, this did nothing. This actually made me want to see this match less.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And this was one of the few segments that that gained viewers over Raw.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, this is also a segment that people who work with the WWE went, oh, that was awful.
Yeah.
You know, they would admit that that wasn't good.
Yeah.
Again, it comes
hopefully
out to, for me, too far. Yeah, I mean, for me, again, it's cheap heat. And this storyline shouldn't have to rely on cheap heat. This storyline should simply be... And I don't even understand why Punk is... Other than Punk is now such a colossal dick he would do this,
mm-hmm.
why is Punk acting this way? Again, it should come back down to the basic logic. I'm the best in the world. I don't have a shot at the title. I can prove I'm even better than Rock and Cena. I go out there and steal the show and beat this man, and I'm not getting that. That's the simple story.
I thought he was getting to the point where you're off your game now.
Yeah.
Because you've lost, you know, like, I'll use the example of Rocky III,
mm-hmm.
when Mickey dies and Rocky loses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, manager passes away, it's going to affect you, I've got you right where I want you, so he's going to use Paul Bearer to keep bringing him up to remind him that, so he keeps him off his game. I also did like the thing that you can lose the streak on a countout or a disqualification. I liked that. But that seemed to me like Punk bringing that up.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
wasn't the thing. Because he had conviction about that. And I didn't like that point. That just to bring that up, again, because you're trying to plant the seeds of doubt that the streak
you're
can
trying
end.
To create heat. I understand.
No, you're
that.
Trying to create the fact that
yeah,
people,
well, no,
you want people to think Taker has a chance of losing.
Exactly. You want people on that night to be heat in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a count out. On the other hand, I mean... Nobody thinks that the Undertaker losing by that manner, not even Punk. It just doesn't seem logical that any character would go, hey, I beat him, and I beat him by count out. Especially a guy like that who's... It just seemed, other than the fact, like I say, that he's just such a colossal prick right now that he would take that, it almost seems below Punk, but I understand he's trying to create a heat spot or two in the match. I understand that.
But I also think that his character would take... a count-out win to
Maybe.
Break the streak.
Because he is just such a
dick. He's a dick, yeah,
him.
Exactly. Now, I mean, this goes back to, and I think that they're legitimately going the way that that Steven had talked about, you know, with our, even talking about our Paul Bearer before they aired it on the first show on Raw, that, you know, Steven had said, you know, Paul Bearer cost CM Punk the match. And
how?
He's in the urn.
Oh.
The light shoots out, blinds Punk, leads him right into the tomb. He's going to hit Undertaker with the urn when the referee's knocked out. A light blinds in his face. He goes right into the tombstone. 1, 2, 3. You know, the emotional, you know, Paul Bearer, thank you. You get that final tribute to him that Paul Bearer... helps the Undertaker one last time.
Okay, here's it will. I mean, to me, that sounds stupid. I think that's shitty.
I just think that's
I think
a
it's
tribute
awful.
To Paul Bearer. I'm fine.
I don't
that.
Like it. But here's the thing.
I love that
matter, I don't like it. But here's the thing that about that. Regardless of whether or not I like it, the moment where that light shines off in his face and he goes into the tombstone or the chokeslam or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and he gets the pin, the crowd will go crazy and it'll work.
Yeah.
Even if I don't like it, it'll work. I have to admit it'll work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's
And Undertaker points to the sky and does the whole thing.
To me,
yeah.
Somehow this match, this is about the level, you know, Undertaker versus Mark Henry was. That's about where it feels to me. Like, about that level of importance.
Yeah.
And it should be much more. And it's certainly Undertaker's matches the last few years have been much more.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, no, that's right.
I think that's where I feel about it. That's, you know.
Well, especially after last week. I mean, it just it doesn't seem as important.
It just seems like another match at WrestleMania.
And we can go to now, the one that's going to get the chance to be the match of the night, and that's the Brock Lesnar-Triple H match. And... where
Bret Hart can already tell us every spot in that match, you know.
I know. I'm just gonna recap because we actually just watched a little bit of Impact, about half of Impact, and on Impact, Bully Ray was going from start to finish the entire Aces and Eights angle. He was telling the story in his own words. So let me tell you the story of Triple H and Brock Lesnar here. Break your arm, have a match. Break your arm in the match. I retire. I go beat. You know, months pass. I beat up your father-in-law, I come in to make the save, I challenge you to a match, coming out of retirement, and now it's a no-holds-barred match, and if I win, your career is on the line. What career?
Yeah.
Like, it's just fucking retarded.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, and you got a couple of things that almost guarantees
that
Hunter's still winning. Like, last we heard, Hunter's winning. So,
and again, I thought maybe, like, somehow to me, as soon as I heard that, the second I heard that, I felt like there was a better chance that that Triple H was winning. Like, it didn't make me feel more doubt. It made me go, oh, there's no doubt now.
Oh, yeah, now.
Like, whatever, I had very little doubt, now I have no doubt.
Yeah.
That he's going over.
I mean, yeah. The one thing, and I thought my highlight for Raw happened when... And part of it, too, it was the best times, it was the worst times, when Heyman said, you know, like, the stipulations here, you're blindfolded, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be shackled. And at least when he said you're going to be shackled, no, we don't want you to make excuses.
Yeah.
Brock does not want you to make excuses. And I thought, okay, I can buy that, then you got a reason for that. Because otherwise, I'm going, well, why wouldn't he fucking want to do that? He'd beat the shit out of him, you know? And then he says, if we win, we get Stephanie. And then he goes, and then again... Maybe the loser should get Stephanie. And I howled, and I thought, that's awesome. And then it just dead downhill again from there. When it says, is that what it is? It's a no-hold? Well, the fact is...
It just went on too long.
Well, and they're like, this match cannot be stopped for any reason. There's no count-out. There's no disqualification. There's nothing to stop the match. So I'm thinking, okay, what is it, last man standing? You know.
I thought it was just a SummerSlam match.
Yeah. And then, exactly. But... And then he's like, it's no holds barred. And it's like...
Yeah, which was the SummerSlam match, wasn't it? Even if it wasn't, that's how it was wrestled.
Yeah, exactly.
You
so
know?
Now it's like, fine, whatever.
Yeah, you know, here's the one good thing. Triple H does come across very intense and like he wants to fight. Brock Lesnar comes across very intense and like he wants to fight.
Mm.
That's the good part.
Yeah.
And then I'm done talking about the good.
Comes about the booking again, right?
Yeah.
Comes back down to the booking is awful.
I'm just, again, it just bores me. It's just nothing, there's nothing there for me to, if you want to compare yourself to NCIS like Zeb Coulter did there a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And you want to talk about that we're just like them, except we have more characters, but we're the same thing, we have storylines. You want to compare yourself to something like that, and you have those 4,152 writers that you have, that actually have some good fucking storylines and some good writing.
Yeah, I know. And they don't. And again, and they've got all... The thing is, they had all the time in the world, and the fact that they fucking changed it, and that's what it was. I mean, so...
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, I quite frankly, I don't want to talk about shit anymore.
No, we got it
out of the way.
We got the negative out of the way. I didn't want to end.
And I just,
do we have any other negative side stories we want to get out of the way now?
We'll probably think of some, but predominantly no. We did have some positive while we're talking about the negative, mostly negative. I think we'll have a little bit maybe a negative.
We're being honest, though. We're not trying to be negative for the sake of negative.
No.
And sometimes you get accused of that. You do a podcast, you're just being negative.
You guys hate the product, why do you watch it? No, it's... The fact
is
that we love wrestling and want to see it be good, and we get frustrated and upset when it's quite obvious that it's bad. Yeah. And, you know, and that's it. But let's go to some of the good. I'm going to start down in NXT.
Okay.
Part of the wellness program, there was an interview. I don't know if you saw it, the clip. I tweeted it. I don't know if you happen to see it. There was an interview on Bruno Sammartino. I believe his website is brunosammartino.org.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sit-down, about an eight-minute talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Triple H, Bruno Sammartino, and Dr. Joseph Maroon. Mm-hmm. Just talking. Mm-hmm. About stuff. And one of the things,
I heard about it, but I didn't
one of the things that come out of this is that down in developmental, when they're training,
mm-hmm.
just in matches, not like televised matches, when they're training in matches, they're wearing helmets and headgear and protection.
Great.
And I think that's tremendous.
Because that's awesome.
Matt and Jeff Hardy in their book is, I think, when they introduced it, talking about your bump card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you only have so many bumps. Well, mm-hmm. putting helmets on when you're standing, when you're doing a rolling around in front of fucking Norman Smiley, you know, that's not a time to use your bump card.
No, on the other hand, knowing what a bump card is and how to build a match without having to take the sick bumps every night,
yeah,
is also part of it, though. I mean, Matt and Jeff Hardy are poor examples.
Well,
they're
the ones that introduced the term, is what I mean.
Yeah, they did introduce the term. But, I mean, we're talking about people we've seen who are still effective wrestlers, like a Nick Bockwinkel
yeah.
in his 50s, because he knew how to bump.
Well, and Matt Hardy's not a good example of anything.
No.
Pill-taking, maybe. But yeah, there's that. And the other thing that's come out now in NXT, all the developmental talent on the shows, they're being given bullet points
mm-hmm.
to go and cut their promos.
Good.
So they're not reading lines. It's, here are the points.
Good.
Go do
that'll
it.
That'll serve us so well when they get to Raw. Oh, wait.
But that's a Hunter call. And that tells me Hunter at least sees this as...
He wants to try something.
He wants to try it, and if he can do it there and get it going, it will come to Raw.
That's
and hope. Quite frankly, the people that do the...
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Well, let's look at it, though. I mean, the people that are used to the bullet points are the people that can muddle through the scripting, but are guys like, say, a CM Punk,
mm-hmm.
or even a Dean Ambrose,
mm-hmm.
that can muddle through those and come out with their own stuff. And they're
mm-hmm.
the guys that are giving bullet points now. So that, if they never have it, like Kofi Kingston, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Kofi can... A Miz is probably the best example.
Mm-hmm.
The Miz has never been given bullet points in his life.
No.
And maybe when he was announcing the Diva Search. He looked at his wrist and screwed that fucking thing up. But look at The Miz now.
Yeah.
Awful, right?
Yeah.
Sheamus, never been given bullet points.
But on the other hand, 2 years ago, we were talking about, fuck, what a good promo Miz is right now.
Well, Miz is an entertaining promo. I don't
but
know
2 years
good.
Ago, we were saying he was good.
He was
and even go back and watch his promo. Watch the night he comes out. New outfit, new music, same mouth. Watch that promo and tell me he wasn't a good promo
yeah.
back then.
Yeah,
you know?
Same mouth, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. Well, and again, they just did a degradation. But, I mean, Sheamus has never been a good promo.
No.
And he's never had bullet points. So, I mean, things like that. So that's good. I'm glad to see that's happening, and I hope that they can...
ADR will never be a good promo as long as they're scripted for him. I don't know if he could be a good promo otherwise.
Yeah.
I know he never will be one when they script for him.
No, that's true. That is true. Just going to talk, we talked a little bit about Chris Jericho. I mean, I think, again, so far in my mind, in terms of North America... He's, at least in WWE, the best wrestler right now of the year.
Of 2013?
Yeah. Like, I mean, we're young into it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not going to say that he will win it. I'm just saying right now he's been the best. He's been, since his last run, kind of tarnished him for me.
Yeah.
You know, he's been a lot better than that last.
He has been. He's looking better.
So... I've he's not even been looking better. He's been looking great.
Yeah, I just want to get off of something, you guys, because you mentioned you and Steven. Now, you're talking about how Bret Hart said AJ needs to go to the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to weigh in on this a little bit here.
Well, would you?
And
if you're going to weigh in.
I know. I was waiting for it. I was like, fuck, I wish I'd used a different phrase.
No. Now, do you use one of those truck stop things to weigh in on it?
Hey. No, I believe that AJ Styles for TNA, my understanding is Sting.
He is Sting.
Kurt Angle.
Oh, I see what you're
Those two certainly make more money than him. Jeff Hardy maybe with his latest contract, but wasn't making more with his previous contract.
Right.
RVD was probably making less than him.
Less than him or more than him?
Less than him.
RVD was making less than AJ Styles?
AJ Styles is said to be making between $500,000 and $1 million a year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep.
He would make, Kofi Kingston is said to be making somewhere in the $300,000 a year.
Right.
You talked about him going to a WWE for the money. He would probably take a pay cut. And I think that's very important to know. Samoa Joe is well paid there. Like, Austin Aries goes to the WWE, almost for sure he'd make more money. Despite the fact that he was champion,
he's
not making as much, you know?
Yeah.
Same, even a Bobby Roode. AJ's very well paid there.
Okay,
because he's seen as, he's like
their franchise. He is their thing.
And for that reason, he is very well paid there. Samoa Joe is also very well paid there. Those are the two guys.
Yeah.
So, talking about him, like, if he's going to go, it would be just to see if he could be the big fish in the big sea. Or the big fish.
The opportunity,
big
yeah, right? Going,
that's
yeah.
what it would be about. Not about going to see for the money, because he'd probably take a pay cut to go there.
And he is now going to be Sting.
Well, yeah, but that's fuck. Fuck them. Fuck off TNA.
In the NWO.
Oh.
But if anybody, he's
the right guy for the role, but it's just the same fucking story.
Well,
fuck off.
When you talk about the same fucking story, it's not in terms of they haven't. And I mean, Jim Cornette is famous for the, you know, you can do an angle every 15 years. Well, guess what? 15 years later.
Okay, I disagree. Number one, when he said that, when he said that and talk about that, it was true because you didn't have the national television angles that were the wrestling weekly on TV and primetime, giving away the main events and the angles, getting the amount of exposure. We talk about Hulk Hogan having an angle and then not being on TV, being on TV maybe 10 times a year.
Right.
So he could have 2 to 3 angles and they'd be memorable, but not the same thing as an NWO. Something like that is just so ingrained and such a big part of the culture that you can't.
It will be compared to it, of course.
Compared to it, it isn't.
Well, no, I know it isn't, but I mean, you can't be compared to it.
If you want to take something, say, from even the Bret Hart, like I say, I talk about the
Alberto Del Rio,
it wasn't as big. I mean, we have fond memories of it, but it wasn't nearly as big as NWO. You could probably get away with doing that again.
Yeah.
15 years later.
Yeah.
This is different. NWO is kind of, you know.
I know it's unique because it was the only thing WCW did that worked. And so it is, and it was
so well known. It continues to be out there in DVDs, and it continues to, just in general, it was so exposed. It's not a storyline you can do again easily every 15 years. If I could think of another storyline from 15 years ago that was, like, if they did the same storyline, I think it's, 5 years ago they did Jericho and HBK. 10 years ago, that storyline. If they did that again in 10 years, you could certainly do it again because it was a great storyline. But it's not going to have that same stick in your memory thing.
I have a feeling that I will like this. I'm not sure why. I just have a positive feeling about this, and I don't know why I said I. Maybe it's because.
Do you feel good about TNA right now?
I do actually. The reason I feel good about TNA is, even though, see, we're in WrestleMania season, but I'm looking forward, and I mean, I was very, as I said, I mean, I've liked Impact the last few weeks in terms of watching. I thought the last, now two, because they're taped together, but that Chicago, we talked about the Chicago crowd there, the crowd they were able to get, they looked major
like
league.
Nitro.
Going on
like
the
Nitro.
Road, exactly.
Yeah.
It looks major league again. Same with the Alamo Dome and
lockdown.
It
looked like a WCW pay-per-view.
The fact is that they've paid off their Aces and Eights presidency angle with someone that wasn't Jeff Jarrett or Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
It was Bully Ray. Worked really well. He's telling Brooke Hogan to fuck off, which makes me laugh, so I like that.
Yeah.
Hogan looks the fool. Last week on Impact, when he's screaming at Sting for saying, like, don't you fucking dare come in and talk to me, because you're the fucking bastard that convinced me. I knew this guy was an asshole, and I let you guys all convince me, and I feel like shit for it, and fuck you. And that's exactly how Hogan came off, and it was perfect. It was one of the best things I've seen Hogan do since he put over Austin Aries, probably. So I thought that was good. I like the fact that we're coming up. This kind of angle that they've got, I don't like the fact that Jeff Hardy is getting the rehash on the next, but I don't know, again, Slammiversary is in Boston in June, so this is, again, their first
another one where they can build to a situation long term. We're coming up on Bound for Glory series season, mm-hmm. which after last year, I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm thinking that this company has got a little bit of momentum in terms of a wrestling, for me as a wrestling fan. Again, okay. the business-wise, I don't know. Again, it's got to be better because they're going to at least be selling tickets.
Well, number one, they're going to be selling tickets, and number two, they're not going to be losing as much money on pay-per-views.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because,
right?
you know, they have these Friday night pay-per-views, and they've already, you know,
taped them for millennia.
Yeah. A lot of them sound like they're really good events that if you want to pay $15 for, you're probably, and you don't know the results, or you do know the results, you probably get a good night.
Well, that champion to champion.
I'll probably be ordering a lot of these because I get them half price. I mean, $7.50, fuck, you know.
Yeah, why not?
I'll say, you come on over, I'll tape it and give you a copy or whatever.
Right? Yeah, yeah, no, you won't because that would be illegal.
No, you can share it to your friend. I can tape it and give you a copy.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. But with, I mean, the Champions of Champions tournament.
Canada, that's not illegal anyways.
And that's true. Canada. But I heard the Champions of Champions tournament, which I thought was really good and very interesting, and that the young guys beat the old guys in mm-hmm. all the results, and Bobby Roode come out as beating Samoa Joe in the final.
In
that.
The final, yeah. So, I mean, I'll give them that. Now, I'm going to give you, though, devil's advocate again.
Sure.
There's no question that they're spread too thin. They're trying to do too much, and they don't necessarily have all the personnel and talent necessarily to do everything they're doing.
Right.
You know, bringing in a guy like Bob Holly even for one night is a worthless waste.
Because
he's Bob Holly.
That's not going to air until 2014.
Yeah, so, you know.
Bob Holly might not even be alive by then. And then they're airing a pay-per-view with him.
One can hope.
Matt Capitelli being one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about Bully Ray and they paid off well the presidency. When Hulk Hogan beats him for the title at Bound for Glory or wherever, how are you going to feel then?
Well, see, and that's the deal if that it happens. I mean, the thing with this is where I'm looking at what I was talking about where they're going, we're talking about Sting, AJ being Sting, is that's predicated on Sting or that AJ is the one to beat Bully Ray. If they do that, if that's the plan, if that's where they're going, fine. You're right. If it's Hogan, fuck you, right? Exactly. I mean, that's
my worry.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, it just I was saying that if it's AJ and Bully at Bound for Glory to do this, and that's what we're building, then I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. If it ends up being Hogan for whatever, I mean, and again, and you're not that is a it's a legitimate worry.
It's a legitimate worry
because it's Hogan.
Yeah, and he's been talking about it. He's been talking about it long enough, and Dixie's stupid enough.
Oh, sure. The thing is all it'll take is someone to ask him how he's doing, pat him on the back, he'll need 6 surgeries, and it won't be able to be possible.
Can I do that?
Right? Maybe, yeah, it would be good. I mean, it's...
What if I sit on his back and actually put him back in place?
Well, we don't want to kill him. So...
How about if I sit on Bob Holly?
Hmm? Done.
All right. Okay.
But,
what else
do
you got to talk positive?
Positive. We talked about the Paul Bearer clips on Raw. Raw is Paul Bearer. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very well done. The Road Scholars
mm-hmm.
Back together. Tremendous. I peed a little bit when I heard, oh, you were not aware of the situation? Your posterior better contact somebody immediately.
Yes.
Oh, is that good?
Yes, that was good.
And I like that Brock beat up the New Age Outlaws. You know, the Hunter's buddies or whatever.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
really
that
play
makes
off
sense.
On it. But but it also takes the New Age Outlaws out because they could be out now for a while. I don't know that they can't come back because I thought, you know, the Outlaws still looked perfectly fine in terms of, I mean, I'm not going to put the titles on them or do nothing that way. But, I mean, in terms of if they're going to have to go on the road and work with the primetime players or somebody on the road, a team on the road, then you could stick the New Age. It just kind of puts them on TV so that when they go to house shows, people go, oh, it's the New Age Outlaws there. Yeah, they could be almost the agents in the ring. We've talked about, again, about the Val Venuses and those kind of guys working.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
So... So that way I'm fine with that, but that's definitely a positive there. Speaking of tag teams, one of the Usos.
Yeah, drunk driving.
Drunk driving.
Second time. Jimmy, isn't it? Jimmy Uso?
I believe it was Jimmy Uso.
Yeah.
And then on main event, beat the primetime players this past Wednesday. So that tells you all you need to know about that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so it's, that is.
But when it's happened twice, you start to wonder if he's got a problem. To me, that's the big thing.
Oh, sure.
I'm out of his cousin.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's, that is a concern, but, you know, it I don't know. What are you going to do? I mean, you can't babysit these guys, right? They.
Well, you put them. I don't know. WWE apparently knows of this thing called rehab. Ask Scott Hall.
Ask Sonny.
Fuck Scott Hall, by the way, and fuck DDP, friend of the show and all.
Yeah. $80,000 they raised.
They wanted to raise to pay for his hip surgery.
And they did raise it, yeah.
And they managed to do it. And I think go fuck yourselves. Like, and if you're stupid, and no offense, but if you're stupid enough to give a dime to that piece of shit, Scott Hall, number one, he's not a good person. Straight up. He's a troubled person, and I feel sorry for some of those issues. And I don't just mean the drugs. I mean, you know, the issues in his past, his early life, even before he became a wrestler. I can understand, you know, that messed him up for his life, but he's not a particularly good guy. He did not treat other performers well. He did not treat the fans well. And he made more than enough money, and he pissed it away.
Well, that's
I don't know why anybody would feel any sense of sympathy for him and give him a fucking dime.
No.
I would if he was on the street and asked me for a nickel, I would think that if I stepped in some gum and used that nickel to scrape it off my shoe, that'd be much better use of it.
Yeah, yeah. Would you give him the razor's edge? But no, I mean, here's a guy that made millions.
Yeah.
And by his own rights, you know, pissed it away, and yeah, it wasn't...
$80,000 could have been used to give surgery to somebody else who really needs it.
Yeah.
Could have been used to feed children.
How many of those...
Could have been used to...
How many of those nets that Natalya and Alicia Fox were out, you know, trying to get for those kids in Africa could $80,000 buy, right? I mean...
No, exactly.
Think of it that way,
no,
right?
Exactly. No, that's a perfect point.
Yeah.
This money could have gone to somebody who really, really deserved a lot more than this guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so if you paid money towards it, hey, I understand your heart may be in the right place, but your brain wasn't.
No, exactly. I mean, and what is it? It's to raise money to get, what, a new kidney, new liver?
I thought it was a hip.
Oh, a hip, okay. Cause,
but
yeah.
I don't know, for sure.
I understand in the surgery, they're going to carve him up. But, you're absolutely right that Scott Hall, I mean... Hopefully he's on the right track with DDP. He can get his life put back together, and you know, a lot like Jake the Snake appears to. I mean, again, these people have track records of you know, of more years, you know, not being sober than being sober. So you kind of come into it with a bit of a cynical view, and you know, I would think rightfully so. And then hopefully he does get back, you know, like Jake. Both of them can get back and be healthy, but. Yeah, I mean,
if he was able to get back and get healthy.
For free.
And then, yeah.
You know, well, it doesn't cost anybody any money. I'm all for it.
No, but if he was able to get back and get healthy, and then he turned around and spent the remaining of his life healthy, sober, and working
soup kitchens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, giving back after a situation like this, I'd have no problem for it. I just don't believe he's a good enough person to do something like that.
No, that's right. Well, I mean, but only God knows why.
Well done. Well done.
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
You need to be talking a little bit about Rey Mysterio. Who's that jumping out the sky? R-E-Y. Right now, the company line is that he'll be back in June.
Mm-hmm.
The what's sort of behind, underlying with that is really what they're trying to do right now is negotiate a release where can't really...
They basically want him on a trumped-up Legends deal. Where he can't go and perform and work for somebody else, and they can still use...
And they still have the licensing rights. Yeah.
Still the licensing rights.
Yeah.
But he's essentially retired.
Yeah.
Can't work anywhere else, do anything else for anybody else. But he's retired, and this is because he's worth so much in the merchandising rights.
Mm-hmm.
But there's underlying issues, and there are personal issues between... him and whoever else in the company,
yeah,
and it that they don't want him going someplace else and making money for someplace else,
right?
But they also they don't want him. They don't want to see him.
No, they don't. No,
you know?
they They don't like him, but they like his money.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, and it's, so it's interesting that, I mean, so it really is probably the end of Rey Mysterio, and let's be honest,
out with a whisper, not a bang.
And but at this, rightfully so. At this point, you know, when
he should have been, honestly, he should have retired probably minimum 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And for his health, probably much before that.
Oh, for his health, I mean, you talk about things even before he went to WWE, about jumping off a curb and shouldn't be doing that. You know, so I mean, hell, he's had a bigger career in WWE than, you know, in terms of championships won and
anybody
things like that you would have imagined him at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So, God coming in.
Sucks for Sin Cara.
Yeah.
Though it should open up a spot for Sin Cara. And they were still going to put him maybe over Cesaro, but
mm-hmm.
so they haven't 100% given up on him, but it should be the spot for Sin Cara. But really, truthfully, it means that he's not going to work with the tag team and be tag team champions with him.
Right.
And get that rub properly and then get the match against him.
That's right.
Where he goes over as the heel. That would have been the real money for him. So it sucks for Sin Cara long term.
Yeah, well, and even short term too.
Yeah, really,
I mean,
it's
just overall, it sucks for Sin Cara, and it's, I mean, and it's like you said, out with a whimper on Rey Mysterio. Again, what it does open up in my eyes is as well in the next few years. We talk about it running out is you know, a semi-main Hall of Fame induction as well. You know.
Yeah, probably. I would think so.
I mean,
again, that's why they're so desperate that they won't be able to sit there and let ADR and the Swagger angle have its life as its own. They're going to try and manipulate it, though.
Yeah.
This is, again, comes back to it. Okay, now we've lost our biggest Hispanic star.
That's right. Our only Hispanic star.
Yeah, and we need to really fill that role.
Yeah.
I mean, if ever, as much as it seems ridiculous, I guess they still have Primo and Epico, but if ever you're going to see Carlito come back, now is when he has negotiating power.
Mm-hmm. That's true. No, that really is. I mean, Christ, I can't wait for Savio Vega to be back. He's a Latin sensation. That's one is too bad. But
Anna Quang.
I mean, we talk about Sin Cara and the matches with Sin Cara. Talk now of Kofi Kingston possibly turning heel after WrestleMania.
I've been talking about this for a long time, but also, if it happens, give me a fucking storyline for it. Give me some character development. Give me just. I'm so worried. I mean, I've seen how they turn people babyface, like ADR and The Miz.
Yeah.
And they'll probably turn him heel just the same way.
Well, and that's the worry. And then people point to his buddy R-Truth there.
Yeah.
You know, and what happened to him.
Yeah.
You know.
No shit.
So that's kind of the. But there's sort of open talks now where there hadn't been. There hadn't been before.
Now, there's two things that you have to keep in mind for Kofi Kingston. Right now, he's working on the house shows as much as Punk is working, which is limited because he's banged up.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's been working, he has been with Kofi.
Yeah.
Kofi's the guy he rides with. Kofi's been the guy he rides with, so both of them in the company.
Yeah.
Every single car trip is the two of them. So, I mean, he's in
bus tight trip.
Bus trip, boom.
Well, they're in Punk's bus.
Yeah. They are now.
Yeah.
Now they've got it. But before he had that.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Former tag team champions together.
That's true, yes.
But, I mean, they're buddies. Is that good? Punk's in a good place, but Punk's still Punk with this peripheral heat that he tends to get on occasion, too. So, I don't know if Punk going, fuck, you got to turn heel. Fuck, you got to turn heel. I think there might be something to that.
I'm sure there is. I mean, and it's true. I mean, like you said, thank God. And really, I mean, Kofi's in no man's land right now. And so, yeah, that would be something that would be a decent summer deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's so, I would be all for the simmering heel Kofi Kingston. And hell, after you turn him heel, you give, when the Jack Swagger thing is run its course with Alberto Del Rio, then, you know, there you go. There's another challenger for Alberto Del Rio, Kofi Kingston.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and the storyline is so simple. And the characterization would be so simple. I've been there for years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always getting the tag titles. I'm always getting the whatever. I can't win the big one. I keep on getting these. Every now and then when you guys.
Not even I can't win the big one. I can't get the big shot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I get the shot. I might get it in a ladder match. I might get it there in a chamber. I never get that shot. Now you guys are keeping me down.
You'll give it to a Mexican, but not a black man.
Yeah. You know what? Honest to God, the storyline is simple. And, yeah, I mean, they should be able to do it well. They won't.
They won't. They won't. But, no, I mean,
let's hope they do.
Yeah, exactly. It's what's needed for the
character.
It's what's
needed for him, too.
Yeah. I definitely think
he would get over more of the babyface. One of the reasons why people are over more of the babyface after they turn heel and turn back is because it makes them feel like more of a total human being. Because you see their frustrations. You see the other side of them. It brings the character and rounds the character out. Like we talk about John Cena. It doesn't feel like, in many ways, he isn't a fully developed character.
No, that's
and
right.
Part of that's because of his poor acting, but part of that's just that he's the happy, smiley babyface all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And his heel run.
Well, so long ago, it doesn't matter.
In
the minds of
And the fact was is that it morphed into the, like, what's with the heels? They morph into the baby face. You know, like Big Show right now is morphing back into a baby face.
But he's being morphed. There's a difference. Whereas Cena would morph naturally. The crowd just started reacting to him. Same as The Rock. The crowd just started reacting to him.
Well, there is that. But now what I'm saying is that that's the Cena that morphed is a totally different. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's totally different. So there's no even comparison to it. You know, it would be like, If Jake the Snake Roberts went heel, turned baby face, and then eventually just became, you know, Jumpin' Jake Roberts, and no snake, no nothing, and stopped, you know, started smiling and, you know, shaking hands and talking and doing high flying. I mean,
let's go back to simply Randy Orton. He's a smiling baby face that doesn't work. He becomes RNN and becomes a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Takes off.
Yeah.
They decide to turn him babyface. He became the white bread babyface
again.
Leaving Evolution.
That's right.
Fucking failed.
Didn't work.
Horribly.
Yes.
A 6 months later, he was a heel again after challenging Undertaker.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania, as a babyface, he challenged him, but became a heel during the match just because of the reaction.
Right.
With a heel going forward for several years, next time they turned him, they changed very little. He continued to get a positive reaction.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're looking at.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. He fought.
If they had,
he
if
fought
they learned,
heels instead of baby faces. Is
that was
happened.
The only difference.
Yeah.
But they learned that hey, we can't make him try too hard. I mean, they did a lot. They made him, you know, play to the crowd. They made him try and tell jokes.
Yeah.
Then they gave him that concussion angle.
That's right.
You know, try and get sympathy. It didn't work. You can't. You know.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's just
that's exactly what you're talking when you talk about Jumpy Jake Roberts. That's what they did. They made Rolling Randy Orton.
Yeah. That's all it was. I mean, so, but, I mean, in terms of positive, we have to talk about, as much as we talk about how the creative is shit and the reasons are shit and, you know, they should change this and they should change that and they should do this.
Shit.
They're not going to.
She.
Because, I mean, WrestleMania is sold out.
Mm-hmm.
The gate right now is $11 million.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, so.
And house shows are doing well.
House
ratings have been going well.
But, I mean, house shows are selling out.
Yeah.
And house shows, even in the Attitude Era, didn't sell out always.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're talking like 12,000.
Business is doing really well.
The house show business and you talk about the pay-per-views with the Royal Rumble pay-per-view up.
The Rock drew a great number. The Royal Rumble didn't draw fuck all.
No, but.
But the Rock drew a great number.
But the business, the money, it's there.
Yeah.
The business is up. The business is probably at all-time highs in terms of dollars coming into the company from house shows because ticket prices are higher and stuff, right? So that from that point on, they're really rolling in the money right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we all know when WrestleMania is, what, April 7th?
April 7th.
So we all know that, like, April 20th, April 20th, yeah, special start time. April 20th is going to hit, and, like, off a cliff, because you don't have Brock or Undertaker or Rock or
Well, we don't know
Hunter.
That. I mean, they're going to have, we don't know.
Well, I guess The Rock is scheduled to do whatever Backlash
some stuff,
Extreme
we don't
Rules,
know.
Right?
Yeah, we don't know exactly how that's going to play off. But obviously, some of this is, a lot of this is Brock. Most of it is Rock. A little bit of it is Undertaker.
Yeah.
Again.
Well, I mean, in terms of Undertaker, that was the highest rated segment of the show because they didn't know it was going to suck when they tuned in.
Yeah.
Right?
And again, you look at your top six people at WrestleMania, four are part-timers and two are regular guys.
Yeah. That's right.
But
I mean, so that money, I mean, if we're talking about these things, maybe not sellouts, but if we talk about business doing well, you know, in June and July, okay, we got a real
won't be
story. No, I know, and that's why I'm confident here. But I mean, right now it is.
That would be a real story, though. Yeah.
Right now there is, and so again, there's no need to change. And that's, I'm sure, when they're talking about Vince is really on his game, I'm sure he's energized by those numbers and those figures and those things. And that's getting him up in the morning with a little more pep in his step. You know,
because there had been talk about how this guy who used to sleep 3 hours a night, you know, and worked 20 and worked or worked out 21 hours a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, 20 to 29 hours a day. Literally, that was what people used to say about him.
Yeah.
There's the talk about how he just seems tired more the last couple of years. He, you know, he is sleeping more. He falls asleep and he's talking to people on occasion now.
Yeah.
Like, he's an old man.
Well, again, exactly. I mean, he's in his 60s, for God's sakes. I mean, it's
now.
Yeah. I mean,
he's 67, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, it's. And again, and some of that, I guess, you know, how much of that was the surgery that he needed to get to? I mean, it was kind of weighing on him and such. So, I mean, like, physically taking its toll. So, because that was about the time you started to hear that, and then he had the surgery, and now you're hearing the opposite. So, maybe that really did, he was putting it off, or, you know.
Well, for a lot of years, people didn't think he was a human being.
No.
And he looked human a little bit, acted human. But, yeah, I mean, he's energized.
But, I mean, he is, and, I mean, I don't think that really is going to...
Fucking laugh.
Or help.
He can't. No.
I mean, I don't think Vince has it anymore, right?
Like you said...
quite frankly, I don't know if he ever did.
We don't know. Well, we think the more and more, maybe Pat Patterson's the one.
Pat Patterson, Vince Russo, I mean, those sorts of things, that he had those people that could hit the pulse at the time to do these things. He was great at Mask, and he put his touches on
you can't
things,
pull
right?
away too much from him.
No, you can't take it away.
But you also can't, I think it's so easy to give him too much, too.
Well, it is. I mean, the Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock Hulk Hogan, The Goon Who, T.L. Hopper, all the same man who has to lay claim to these characters. So that's the dichotomy that you're doing. That's the extreme.
And Fandango.
And Fandango, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I hate that guy.
All right, we got. You know what? I didn't mind Johnny Curtis. I really didn't. He had a chip on his shoulder a little bit, but other than that, I didn't mind Johnny Curtis.
Let the cat out of the bag. But I mean, he's never had it. And he's not a. I mean, again,
nothing special. But I didn't mind him.
No, exactly. It's nothing special. But you know, he was a guy. Again, if you're going to throw him in a tag team with Michael McGillicuddy and package him, fine. And maybe somebody breaks out. Maybe somebody breaks out. But yeah, no, this is just. And again. You feel bad for the guy because it all roads lead to the future endeavor, and it really through no fault of his own, right? I mean, we talk about it all the time, you know, creative has nothing for you. Well, fire creative then. Isn't that their job?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
obviously not.
No, apparently not. So.
All right, so you got anything else there, or are we done?
I think we're done.
All right.
We're done.
Let's do the plugs.
Mm-hmm. Mo's mother. No, we're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. WeTalkWrestling.com, the website. We're on iTunes and Stitcher, so, you know, go on there, like us, rate us, give us some feedback on iTunes. It's always greatly appreciated, and you can subscribe to the podcast, automatically download for you. We are ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com. I've got some, it's been so long, we do have some email, a bank of email questions. We just,
because we didn't
get together, and then really we haven't done a show now in 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah.
So we had a lot to talk about, so we are going to get to those questions probably next week, I would think, hopefully,
a lot of shit happens here.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Barring anything unforeseen, we'll do that. So, am I missing anything? I think
that's Stitcher.
I said Stitcher.
Did you?
Stitcher and iTunes, yeah. I focus more on the iTunes, but I mentioned Stitcher.
You did mention
Stitcher? Stitcher, yeah, we're on Stitcher.
What about Stitcher?
And iTunes, too.
Did you mention Stitcher, though?
Stitcher.
Yeah.
We're on Stitcher?
Yeah.
At We Talk Wrestling. Stitcher. Huh. But,
yeah, that's good.
I think that's it. I think we're OUT.
That is going to do it then for this week. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
I got a massive cock.
You really are fat.